Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Butt Pod 241.
241? Oh no, what have you done? That's... You stole from the baker a currant bun.
Oh, a devil rhyme.
Well, that's just the one. Oh no, you're right, there were two.
It's never been done. That's a that's another
this is
one.
Number three.
Oh my god. I like that. That was like a Ken Loach film.
But a really twee one. That's his Last of a Summer Wine.
Yeah, he it would be like the last film he makes before he dies.
Yeah.
Where people go, oh, something about him getting closer to death made him very saccharine.
Very, yeah, sentimental. But then something awful would happen to the boy.
Yeah, just to stay on brand. He's like, then he gets run over by a lorry.
Yeah. It'd Why be like not? The end of I, Daniel Blake. It's like the boy had a heart attack from eating the bun. You go, the boy had a heart attack.
Actually, to be fair, his films are sentimental. It's just that the sentiment is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
In fairness, they're very sentimental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just that the sentiment is more like what you do at the start. Look what you've done.
Yeah, it's the drink driving advert.
Oh, yeah. That's just great, Matt. No car, no job. Now what?
I had now what stuck in my head for like my whole life. You really enjoyed when I was explaining to Phil what was stuck in my head. The sweetest thing.
It's so funny. One of my favorite episodes. Just why a trailer from a film that would just have no reason to stay with you. The sweetest thing has not been thought about.
No.
I remember that film coming out because at the time I had like, I was really into movies when I was about 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And so would have subscriptions to like Empire and Total Film.
Yeah.
To read all about these films that I couldn't get in to see at the cinema. and it would all be stuff like SWAT with Colin Farrell and Samuel L. Jackson. You go, I bet they haven't thought about that film for like 20 years.
They can't remember where that money's from. You know, like if sometimes, I mean... You know, you and I are gigging comedians, so we have to do our own taxes.
Mm.
And sometimes you'll look at like and like our friends who run gigs, it's just like another one person. There's no companies. And so sometimes they'll form limited companies. And so I'll have like a payment for like 120 quid from like, you know, rusty Bumquist Enterprises.
It's so annoying.
And I have to sit and go, what is that for? We get paid for gigs like months after we do them, months after you've seen us on stage when we get the money. So we have to like go back like guessing like 3 months. Let's see if there's something in June that could explain rusty Bumquist.
Are you allowed
pounds.
To call your limited company like HMRC Cumbernauld, but spell it wrong by like one letter?
Spell it where the L is a capital I.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it actually still looks like Cumbernauld.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder. No, you
no,
can't.
No, they'd be like, you're scamming people. You go, no, it's
you go,
being
no.
silly.
It's called Hail Mary, really Christian. And I'm from Cumbernauld. It's a charity.
I go, no, you're not from Cumbernauld. You go, okay, but Cumbernauld stands for Christ
under
my bum.
I think you're right. I think that the actors in those things just look at like the car they bought with that money and just go, "What? Which one were you?"
Yeah, I don't think Samuel L. Jackson ever like logs into NatWest and is like, "What was SWAT?"
Southwest Airlines, Air Transport.
Yeah,
I wonder what do you think is like. The biggest, like, least forgettable film that one of the stars has still forgotten. Because I think maybe some of the...
Die Hard.
Die Hard. Oh, yeah. Fucking hell, that took me a second. Well, you're not wrong. Okay, apart from... apart from Bruce Willis. I think some of the old Shakespearean actors who ended up doing stuff like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings are prime candidates for being so like, behold, you know, and that they go, oh, yes, that's a silly old thing. And they're talking about Star Wars or.
Maybe. I think Ian McKellen would be a good one because he had so many. He was in like excellent plays before Lord of the Rings and loads of bad movies.
Yeah.
And he's in loads of really trashy British horror films, really bad, like Doctor Who-esque stuff where it's like weird sort of eldritch horror where they didn't have the budget to be able to actually make it good. And occasionally you'll see a film being advertised, a really sort of retro film, and it'll be sort of like starring Ian McKellen from Lord of the Rings. No. We need to set an amnesty. We need to set a cutoff point. Anything pre-Lord of the Rings, you can't advertise he was in. Sort of a Channel 5 afternoon movie used to do all the time. You'd see it in the TV guide. They'd be like, starring Charlize Theron. You'd be like, no, she has one line as a shopkeeper, and it was from 1992. She's not. That's not the Charlize Theron you know.
Yeah, you can't say starring Sir Ian McKellen if there's a brief shot of his pregnant mother. He's in the womb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you go, if you look carefully, maybe.
Yeah.
No, I think that's true. That's not legit.
Yeah, I think maybe some of the Harry Potter cast don't remember the specifics of, say, like the fourth film or something like that.
That's true. I often wonder about them because I recently saw a big chunk of the first or second one.
Mm.
And God, it's badly acted. Like, I know that they... Like, I think that's what happens when you have to find a kid who looks a lot like an imaginary kid.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, well... You can learn to act.
Yeah.
But you can't learn to look like that.
No. And we go, right, okay, we've got to hope this kid is a good actor, not only for the first film, but they continue to be a good actor for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's happened in Boyhood. You remember that? They kept the same... Oh, it was that film filmed over the course of like 30 years. God, if you had to watch... For any reason, had to watch that film again, you'd go, why? Why? There are certain films you watch because you sort of had to.
I Uncut Gems is the film I like the most that I never want to see again.
Oh, I was thinking about it the other day, but I really want to watch it again.
Really?
Yeah, even though I was like, it made me so unhappy. It made me sad. I think because I've got the relief of, oh, well, I know how it ends.
Okay,
that's know, true. I know how the nightmare's over.
It was like if you could visit a panic attack in its own home.
Yeah.
That's what like watching that was for me.
It was great. It was more effective horror than sort of like a spooky witch.
Yeah. That's true. Just someone watching someone drastically mismanage their family and business affairs.
Yeah.
Is so much more tense than watching someone go, but I must look in the chest.
Exactly.
That knocking sound.
I've been watching Boiling Point recently, the TV version of the film, the sort of the kitchen-based film. And so much more stressful than a horror film because you're like, what if the cake falls over? And you go, I don't know why that's scarier than a zombie. The beef was cold and you sent it out. The stakes are so low. The stakes are so low in that.
It's I used to get terrible Frasier anxiety.
Yeah.
I would watch as a teenager or as a kid, maybe, because it was just on constantly. Frasier was like, you know when you read about like television in some Eastern European Soviet dictatorship and you go, one in every three shows had to be speeches.
Yeah.
Just by like the leader. And like that was what Frasier was. Just every third thing on TV was Frasier or an old Simpsons.
Yeah. And it would stress you out because of what? Because it's the farce.
Because you're so aware that the whole point of what you're doing is that this is going to go wrong.
Yeah, and also, I think Frasier has that, it's probably my favourite sitcom, but it has that element of farce which really annoyed me with, like, Oscar Wilde stuff, or any actual farce, any Alan Ayckbourn thing or anything like that, which is that the action is always restricted to one room to such an extent that of someone will go, do you know what? I'm going to tell her now that I love her. And you know in reality that actually the person he's going to tell that he loves her, you know, has got a husband, he's going to fall flat on his face. And so he goes to triumphantly walk out of the room and the other character's like, oh, he's going to fall flat on his face, but he's left the room.
Yeah.
Go in the hallway! Walk, he's right there!
Yeah. And
he's right there. You can end this.
You could shout it through the door even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I must have had sandwiches. And you could just, it bothers me so much. No one ever chases after him. Any farce could be resolved in like 1 second if someone went, everyone shut up.
It's the same as a mobile phone rule for horror movies.
Exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. But it's exactly it where everyone is sort of paralyzed like dream logic. Like, yeah. They're frozen by, like you say, the sandwiches or some other random fucking whatever.
I feel like the mobile phone logic in movies should just be something that is, doesn't even have to be addressed. They should just have a little thing at the beginning, like in Star Wars, where you go a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Just go, this film, there aren't phones.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, fine, because they always have to have a 5-minute scene that involves someone's phone breaking. You go, well, we knew this was going to happen, so you've just wasted our time.
Or someone turning to someone else and going, no signal.
Yeah, just that. It's enough. It's enough. We know you haven't got a signal because you're in a horror film.
Yeah. Or they've just gone like, and the saw puppet has got a machine.
It's fine. Electromagnetic pulse. This is fine.
Or just like in the future, historians will be like, at some point, all movies were set. Movies stopped being set after the 90s. It's strange.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why was that? Well, they built a device so clever that it ruined every story.
Mm. I think with regards to people not telling people stuff in farces, I was thinking, my question to you is, if you were Spider-Man, would you tell people you were Spider-Man? Because Spider-Man only really tells Mary Jane, and that's kind of it.
Miles
Morales only ever tells like Yankee and a couple of others.
That's true, and a lot of the problems that Spider-Man faces arise from trying to not let people know.
It bothers me so much. I would tell everyone, on a case-by-case basis, so many people I was Spider-Man, and it bothers me so much. I'm playing Spider-Man 2 at the moment, and it's great, but literally in like the first scene, he's teaching at a school on like his first day, and then he gets called away because of Spider-Man duties, and he leaves the kids in the classroom, and the principal gets in touch with him, and she's sort of like, you're meant to be helping these children, not hindering them. And it's like, it's because he was busy saving you from, and he goes, well, I guess I'm just a piece of shit then. And you go, I would take her to one side and go, it's because I'm fucking Spider-Man. I'm fucking Spider-Man. Shut up. Don't tell anyone.
You're sitting there thinking, well, you wouldn't talk to me this way if you knew I was Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well.
Yeah. You just go, I I'm sure Peter Parker's really secure in himself, being sort of like in his logic, going, little does she know I'm Spider-Man. But you go, but also, he's now lost his job.
It makes you look terrible.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, I guess that bus just had to fall off that cliff then.
Yeah.
You go, no. Don't you have
to. What, did you watch Spider-Man do it? No, I'm the between the lines. It's so. Because I think if you're Spider-Man, I think if I was Spider-Man, you'd get in touch with, say, the NYPD and be like, look, I'm doing your job for you. Can you give me a grant every year, which means I don't have to do another work. Don't have to do any other work.
Give me a guy. He follows me around, and when I'm busy being Spider-Man, he takes over the classroom or keeps driving or whatever it is I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm saving you billions, although maybe costing billions, but then,
No, he's not as destructive as, like, the Avengers overall.
Yeah, that's true.
Where they cause, like, multiple 9/11s with every 9/11 that they that they stop from happening.
Yeah, they're stuck
they go,
in a real...
Don't worry, we stopped the Chrysler Building from collapsing by throwing the Empire State Building at it.
I mean, me and Phil are obsessed with the fact that the enemies have to always be bugs or robots.
Yeah.
Because you can't kill things that are too humanoid, you know.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it would be amazing if one day, a guy with a goatee and a fucking glowing purple cape just went like, wah, 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 and opened a portal. And the army that invaded Earth just looked like, you know.
Yeah, so it's Doctor Strange. If Doctor Strange was a baddie, essentially.
Doctor Strange was a baddie, and we had to watch someone pull his fucking head off.
Yeah, because it's fine watching a robot get smashed. Like, Sandman, for instance.
Sandman,
what do you want? What are your demands for the city? You want New York to be covered in sand?
You want it to be sand?
Yeah.
Is it because you're...
Move to places where there are sand.
Move to Dubai.
Dubai. Skyscrapers, loads of sand. You'd be so happy.
You'd be so popular.
You'd be they'd love him.
We have a man who can control sand.
Yeah.
He'd be so powerful.
Yeah, and also, like, he's killed by, like, or he's defeated by, like, water. Again, move to Dubai.
Can't emphasize enough how much he should become a Bedouin or something.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
It's true. Spider-Man should, with the villains, like, what are your demands? And the demands always inevitably boil down to, like... One of the things I hated about the Spider-Man, whatever it was, where there are three Spider-Men at the end.
Yeah. The most recent one. Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland, yeah.
They basically sit down and admit that Willem Dafoe's goblin character's problem is that he's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
They just go, well, he's got schizophrenia. And then they sort of go like the A-team used to in this lab. And it's like a high school lab. And they're just going like, well, but do 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 do. tinkle, 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 this mixing, and they're holding up blue liquid, and they basically invent a cure for schizophrenia.
I find it so
offensive.
And
they kind of thwip the pill into his mouth.
It should be illegal in films to make up cures for real diseases. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if at the end they sort of go, and we cured cancer, and then you sort of turn to your relative at the end of the film and you go, that's not real, by the way.
That's not real, just so you know. They haven't done that. Also, watching the three Spider-Men like work together and go, God, that's what all the research into mental illness and schizophrenia and stuff has been going wrong. They needed three Spider-Men with a high school lab to make a blue liquid, and that was what was missing. And they won't share it with anyone.
That film is
They won't tell anyone. They won't release the patent like the guy did with the measles vaccine or whatever.
It's very funny that anyone in Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, anyone whose death that they were responsible for, that brings them into the world, which is why Green Goblin's back and stuff like that. And Andrew Garfield, in his world, Emma Stone is dead.
Yeah.
But in this new New York that he's been brought back to, you go, well, you were partly responsible. So she'd be alive. But he goes, well, guess I've got to go back home. Bye. And you go, you can save her.
Also, like...
It's like in, essentially, in the film Yesterday, where the Beatles didn't exist. And they go, wow, you know, but everyone was happy and it was all fine. You go, Mark David Chapman is walking around as a free man, ready to kill someone else over a signed copy of a book.
And you go, in this universe, Mark David Chapman mowed down one of the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that's...
Okay.
Well, you know. Also, like, if it's anything where they're responsible for their death, there should be some school buses of kids.
Loads of...
So many civilians.
New York should be so overpopulated.
We just go, right, so the causality of the universe has an inherent morality that we can measure. So you just go, okay, so the universe... in its very fabric, doesn't agree with indirect responsibility.
Yes.
It doesn't think that exists. Yeah. So that is good news. We can all actually relax about a lot of stuff. That's a real load off the old brain there. So it only counts as a death if I do it with my thumbs.
Yeah.
Through someone's fucking eyes. If I just do it through negligence or anything like that, it's actually fine. The universe won't remember on a subatomic level.
I think we'd look too much into this family film.
I disagree.
I think I should
look a lot more into it. But if I was watching that scene as someone who researched into schizophrenia pharmaceuticals, I'd be like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Just holding up a beaker of blue.
Here
we go.
It's so divine. They're so happy when the whole situation's resolved and you sort of go, right, for the other Spider-Man, they go, oh, briefly, Uncle Ben was alive and now he's dead again. That's good. That's a good thing that's happened.
Yeah. Phew.
Yeah.
I think I've been pondering it while we've been talking, and I think I realize why I get Frasier anxiety, but not Always Sunny in Philadelphia anxiety.
Okay.
Because I like Frasier.
Yeah, you want him to succeed.
I wish him the best.
Well, he's got a nice flat. So the stakes are higher. I found this quite difficult with basically a few people told me essentially the plot of Beau is Afraid, and they were like, you will love this film, it's really, really stressful.
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, a guy accidentally leaves his keys in his front door. When he goes back to his front door, the keys are gone and his flat's open, but he's going to go to cross the street, and so his flat is left wide open, and then suddenly he sees a bunch of horrible people crossing the street to basically just go into his flat, and there's nothing he can do about it. And I was like, oh, this sounds really stressful.
Yeah.
But then I watched the film and I'm like, his flat, he's got no furniture, so there's no... Where are the stakes?
It's
fine. Yeah, it's fine. So if in It's Always Sunny, Frank and Charlie's place burned down, I'd be it needed to. You needed to start anew.
The neighborhood is better.
Yeah.
For that place having burned down. That's true.
Whereas I think Frasier is friends with so many comically unreasonable people where it's sort of, if someone, you know, for instance, if someone broke a glass in their presence, they'd go, I've never been so offended in all of my life. And then they storm out. You get a fucking grip. Yeah. Also, yeah. I mean, I've never been to Philadelphia, but not Philadelphia. I've never been to Seattle. But is the opera on that often?
It's like turn of the century.
It's every day.
It's like turn of the century Vienna.
Yeah.
It's like operas and concerts. And
they go like it's the cinema.
It's true, isn't it? Because it is just like saying, in America, if you have the right connections and money, you can live like the fucking Duke of Austerlitz in 1798 Vienna. Like, just sort of... just only ever going to like recitals on the harpsichord.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really... I don't enjoy Frasier's life.
Frasier is like an aristocrat who helps peasants through a megaphone. Sort of cheers them up.
He's also... He essentially works on like AM radio. He basically works on like Five Live.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just gets recognized everywhere he goes. It makes no sense. Like, Dr. Fraser Crane from the radio? What are you talking about?
How do you know?
Yeah. He's not advertised on every bus.
Also, everyone who recognizes him should be frightening.
Yeah. Why do you know the psychiatry show?
Yeah, not in nearly enough people call him up screaming conspiratorial abuse.
And he never helps anyone. There's always a punchline, and then he goes, "Oh, next caller," and he goes, "No."
Yeah, he just goes like, "Well, perhaps you should think about it some more."
Yeah.
Well, boop, and then as gunfire sounds.
Well, he arrives at his show 30 seconds before he goes on air, like without fail.
And he has no case files.
There's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing. Let's see what we've got. And Roz doesn't have the... Because Roz is like the co-presenter.
Yeah.
And he's also the only producer. So she's the one screening the calls. I don't know when she gets the chance to listen those callers.
She has PTSD.
Yeah.
She's just sitting there going, you don't hear the things you don't hear. You know, the stuff Roz has to hear. The letters she has to open.
Yeah.
I would love to see a crossover between Fraser Crane and the other famous sort of psychiatrist, Hannibal Lecter. Where they're like colleagues.
That's what the new series has been. Fuck Nicholas Lyndhurst being.
Yeah. We've got Mads Mikkelsen. Mads Mikkelsen is taking over the radio show. It's Hannibal Lecter.
Mm.
Like in the HBO or whatever, FX Hannibal Lecter, the recent one. And now we have like dinner party farce. But also the meat is from some other... He keeps saying veal, but it doesn't seem like veal.
there's an Indian restaurant, like my sort of go-to one.
Yeah.
And I love it. And they have on their website the equivalent of, you know, like anytime you go to a restaurant and they've got pictures on the wall of the manager meeting, always Vinnie Jones, but loads of other celebrities.
Throughout history.
They have a picture of Mads Mikkelsen eating at the restaurant.
Really?
One of our most, you know, one of our most frequent guests. But he obviously either turned down the opportunity to meet, to shake hands with the manager and have a photo, or... they were just too frightened to ask. The photo is of him mid-mouthful. And it's like, the photo on the website is of Mads Mikkelsen, like mid-mouthful, obviously not wanting to be spotted. And it's like a photo that like, it's like the photo is part of a sting operation.
It's like the photos in the briefing loading screen of a hitman mission.
Yeah.
This is where he eats.
Welcome 47. He's eating a chicken boon.
We need you to make this curry. Like, one of the options in the mission is you make the curry so spicy he has to drink the poison
milk
or whatever.
Agent 47 is so funny. He's
sick,
so
bald,
funny.
Like, 6 foot eight murderer.
Yeah. Oh, my one bodyguard who I always have around me at all times is now being replaced by a man of slightly different height. Or a waiter. The waiter who we have not had all meal has come over to give us a dessert menu and sort of been like, I particularly enjoy the death by chocolate. Why is he talking like that?
Are you wearing a wig?
Yeah, he's like a serial killer who wants to be caught.
Yeah, or like the level of low effort prankster costume that you would get on like a fake prank show for children. Like CBeebies. Like,
yeah.
Well, we don't want to encourage real pranks.
So we replaced your mum and your dad's diary. So your dad's to-do list says get a lady's haircut, and why would my dad have written down in his plan get a lady's haircut?
Like, or like your waiter now has got like a big silly jelly apron,
yeah,
and like his shoes honk when he walks to the table, and like that's the big prank. I would love, what would there be? There'd be like a Hitman version of the Hitman game where it's just political assassinations throughout history. It would be the most cancelled game.
Oh, yeah. What, as in, so anyone who's ever been.
Yeah.
So culminating in Japan's former.
Yeah, Shinzo Abe.
Shinzo Abe getting assassinated.
Yeah. All the way through history, just like really take the assassin thing literally. And then when everyone complains, be like, why? All the other games were fine.
Yeah, with like Joker, we go, no, it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. It turns out it was Agent 47. Yeah. What?
Well, like really thinly, thinly alluded to, like, this is Shmabraham Binken, and he is in the theater.
His long hat. Use his long hat against him.
Don't aim too high on the hat. His head isn't long as well. You have to shoot where his head is.
Yeah.
At the top of the hat. It's not a warning mission.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you seen The Killer, that new...
I haven't. I want to.
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah, I liked
really?
It a lot.
Okay.
I liked it a lot. It's odd.
Michael Fassbender has got a very up and down film career. Always stays very relevant. He always got, yeah. Oh, Michael Fassbender's new film. I'd be interested in checking it out. Review. I mean, obviously he was in the Snowman. Was that it? The Snow? For Mr. Police. No, yeah. I've never seen the films. So I don't know if the person says that.
That was dumb.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That was a dumb one.
Yeah.
This one is good. This is
Mr. Police.
Mr. Police.
Baby. You absolute baby. Baby.
You can't be this much of a baby and be a murderer.
Yeah. Mr. Police.
Hannibal Lecter's recipes weren't written in crayon. Like, ketchup.
And some delicious wine.
Expensive
wine. Baked beans and wine. You ate his liver with baked beans and wine.
What wine? It just shrugs. Okay.
He's meant to be.
Shouldn't have come here for advice.
He's meant to sound all refined in that bit. The father beans and nice Chianti. And you go, all you've given us information is you had alcohol, a person, and some beans. That is the most Charlie from It's Always Sunny cannibal behaviour you could have.
A cannibal tramp.
Yeah, I had alcohol and beans.
Yeah, around a stove.
Like, yeah.
In the woods. Yeah. Beans in a tent.
Yeah, like you're someone Macaulay Culkin scared of in Home Alone.
Yeah, I had a 40-ounce liquor, some beans in a tin, and his liver.
I had, I ate his liver with some Heinz no added sugar baked beans and a nice Pabst Blue Ribbon.
On the TV tray. Watching NASCAR. I would love a Hillbilly Hannibal Lecter. You're asking the wrong questions, Clarice.
Clarice, I can sense you're wearing the Lynx Africa. You
normally change your socks, but not today.
I certainly don't.
Ooh-wee. And then Clarice has a really pretentious accent.
Yeah.
Class swapped Clarice and Hannibal. Yeah. She's just like, oh my God. She's incredibly posh and rich and privileged. How do them lambs sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it's because Frasier's flat is nice, but it would be bad if Frasier's flat was even nicer. If we're talking chandelier Home Alone...
Yeah, he doesn't have stairs, for instance.
Then it would be funny if things fucked up in the flat. Because then I think when things are so nice that they're just beyond the idea of you having them.
Mm.
Like watching the king fall in a puddle is funny.
Yeah.
You know, but watching like, Frasier fall in a puddle, you'd be like, no, that's... I can imagine having a nice suit.
Yeah, because I guess at the king they go, we shot all witnesses. We cleared up the situation.
Yeah, we filled in the puddle with the witnesses.
Yeah. But I guess Frasier's house is sullied technically by Martin's chair, which is fine. His chair looks fine.
It's very odd. That's one of the problems with Frasier and also with Hannibal Lecter is that their pretentiousness doesn't age well. Because it's whatever's fancy at the time.
Yeah. So you go, oh, you don't like Martin's chair with the baggiest suit I've ever seen in my life. You look like you're in Simple Minds.
Every 90s suit looks like there's some enormous dad somewhere that they're nicking the suit from.
Yeah.
They're dressing in their dad's
Martin's
suit.
Martin's not that big. Where did you get that suit from?
Yeah. What tailor is this?
Yeah.
Are you wearing the suit of like, it's like Agent 47's suit or like of the thing from the Fantastic Four when sometimes he's wearing a suit? You've just put that on.
Yeah, it's
and,
so
and
mad.
And there was like seven button suits.
Oh yeah, the whole 90s suit thing. I felt that, like we were talking obviously last week's episode about like Jim Carrey films like Liar Liar.
Yeah.
The suits are dreadful. That's the worst part of 90s fashion.
Power
the one
ties.
Bit that's never come back. The one bit of 90s fashion is t-shirts tucked into jeans, fine. Yeah. Hawaiian shirts, fine. Short shorts, fine. Big baggy suit. Nothing could command less respect in a courtroom.
Yeah, looking like you're in the, you know,
is this floppy briefcases. Really floppy leather briefcases.
Yeah, that's true. Non-rigid briefcases.
Yeah. So your paper comes out creased.
Big sort of like handbag ball sack sort of fucking. Yeah, briefcases. Mad. Yeah. Briefcases in general.
Yeah, I've never known anyone to have a briefcase.
If I saw someone carrying a briefcase, I'd be like, you're going to a costume party.
Yeah, or you're going to slide this across the table in a threatening way.
Yeah.
I trust everything is in order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always there's like an emergency telephone in it.
But it's a landline. So have you got to plug anywhere? Before I open this, I've got
to... It has to be a LAN cable as well. Yeah. But one of the thin ones, not one of the computer ones. That's really thin ones. I don't have a landline because I'm not 100, but I imagine if in this flat, the second I plugged one in, it would just immediately ring and it would immediately be like a robot saying, you are owing tax to a...
Yeah, it would be like...
3-4.
Yeah, it's like signing up to like MSN now. You go like, oh, this is riddled with...
Yeah.
I occasionally like my sort of burner account for whenever I've like bought a pair of jeans and they go, what's your email address? I give them a burner one that's like a Hotmail account from when I was about 15.
Yeah, me too.
And occasionally I'll log into it and it is a fucking train wreck. It's like a satire of what pop-ups were like in the 90s. If the word... boner is in every email I've received. It's like, it's unreal. Nothing looks remotely convincing. You go, I understand you're doing the whole Nigerian prince thing.
Yeah.
But how have you managed to make the subject line a different font to my other emails? How have you changed your font on my computer?
That's complicated.
Yeah.
Or like, why do you think it's a good idea that the A in Viagra is the at symbol? Do you think that makes it more or less convincing?
Yeah, my parents have a landline and it's easier because they live in an area of just no signal. It's easier to get them on the landline. And
they're like in the research station of the thing, basically.
Yeah.
They're in a horror movie.
They're the guys you freeze in the day after tomorrow, yeah. They live in a weather station. And whenever I ring and whenever it goes to voicemail, it's the most horrifying voicemail. They can't change it for some reason, but it's like this really muffled... Oh, this is... It sounds like someone delivering it through a megaphone, but behind a blast door. So you go, it's both loud and not loud at the same time. Yeah,
it's all bass.
Yeah.
Like no treble
it's
to
seen,
tell you.
It's seen in a play set outside a nightclub, where you just...
Or like claustrophobic scene in a movie where you just need to know that the character's neighbours are loud.
Yeah.
And the characters shut up.
Yeah, neighbors who are arguing all the time. Split up.
Yeah.
I've never had a row that much with someone and seen them again.
Like insane. Like,
how are you both still alive?
It's like Charles Manson level row.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where this guy lives, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know why. It's one of the big campaigns that you get about like raising the quality of life in the country generally is that like fraud is just legal. In the UK, it's just legal. Fraud is legal. Yeah. Burglary is basically legal. If you look at how many burglaries get solved.
Oh man, it's crazy. I'm so surprised I haven't burgled more houses.
Yeah.
Because my tally is none. But I really think like the opportunity's there apparently. I had no idea.
There seems to be like there would be no consequence.
But I'm someone who commands such little respect and causes immediate skepticism that I think even someone walking down the street who has never walked down that street before would go, where are you going? Why are you going? I used to have this, I had like a temp job. I had a temp job at a call center in Victoria in central London
when I first
moved to London. And there were these really fancy like blocks of flats where it's like in sort of New York, they're sort of surrounded, like you have like four blocks of flats and in the middle is a central courtyard with all these benches and I think with a lovely fountain, you sort of think, that'd be a lovely place to have a lunch. But I know I don't live in the block of flats, but like the gate is right open, I can just walk through. I'd walk through and someone who would be like the gardener on his first day would be like, what are you doing? And I'd be like, 1,000 people live in this building. Why? And I'm in a suit. That's the one thing you're meant to be. I was always told if you're in a suit, more confidently.
Maybe. It was because you were in a suit.
It was too suspicious.
Well, it was too much.
Hello, good
sir. It was too lunch break.
I was guy incognitoing it.
It was office lunch break.
Yeah, you haven't come back home.
If you'd come out in a robe smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
Going, they would have gone, well, he's clearly one of the rich maniacs who lived.
Well, I live around a corner from a huge, huge bingo hall. And it's got these lit torches 24/7. Like lit torches outside. Like
Genghis Khan.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's some sort of like Aztec sacrifice. And I'm so intrigued that it's open 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's open 24 hours.
Should we go to the bingo at 3 a.m.?
Yeah. You go, what are you doing?
So someone on stage going, hey, 72.
Yeah. We've done all the numbers. And they have, it's really strange because they have always posters outside for Polish comedy nights. So it's very weird seeing. Yeah, yeah. And it feels really uncanny to me, and it would feel really uncanny to you as well. Oh. Seeing these posters that look like every comedy night poster you've ever seen, but in a language you cannot understand with people you have never seen before in your life. But you go, what? It's got a list of credits, and I don't recognize any of these TV shows. And it feels like you're in a parallel universe. But there was one time I was coming home, like Friday night, it was like 1 in the morning, and there were about 100 people queuing up to go at 1 in the morning. And I was like, I need to know what's in here. Because like Google Maps Street View lets you like walk around the inside of a building. It's full of bars. It's like a Las Vegas casino. And I'm so intrigued. What? And so I just queued up in amongst these 100 people. Everyone's just freely going in. I walked in and a bouncer went, where's your membership card? And he hadn't asked anyone else. He hadn't asked anyone else. And I don't know, get out. And so I had to leave.
Is it that you're so visibly not Polish? Somehow.
No one else was it, like when I say they have a Polish comedy night, it's not like, oh, it's a Polish bingo place. It's just a good place for a Polish comedy night.
Apparently.
But everyone else was just, it was, you know, people just all ages, all nationalities. Yeah. And
what is it about you that does this? I'm so fascinated by it. Because also, like you've said in the past, one of your things you've said that's my favorite description of something is how in any situation, like a maniac or like an intolerable child or something,
yeah,
will make its way to you the way that like wasps just kind of barrel towards you.
Yeah, it's like
towards one, rather.
Yeah, children are magnetically attracted to my legs.
Yeah,
in a way that is alarming to me. But I'll be walking down a street, there'll be a kid and his mum, and the kid will just be walking around flailing his arms. He'll be on the other side of the road, and I'm like, I know where this is ending. This is ending up with his head hitting my knee, and I'll be in trouble, and I'll be backing away from the child, and he'll be gravitating towards me without looking. He'll hit me, collide, and the mum will be like, "What have you just done?" And I'm like, "No, you have no idea. There's something in my knees, and I don't know what it is." I'm like the Joker handing out his business card saying, I laugh a lot, please bear with me.
It's a sign of a mental illness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got something with my knees.
I have unluckiness.
Yeah.
It is odd. Yeah. It's so really you couldn't strange. Burgle as a result.
No, everyone would know it was me.
I don't think I could burgle because I think as part of naturalizing as a UK citizen, I think they do have my fingerprints somewhere.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Also,
I've definitely had to give fingerprints a lot.
Where would you put the more on that in a second. Where would you put the stuff? Because you can't. Yeah. I know it's like a trope of they have a sack. No one has a sack.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you where to buy a sack.
No, I guess
B&Q?
Like one of those like big yellow storage places.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it would be one of those really crinkly blue thick.
Oh yeah, yeah, like an IKEA bag. Yeah, and you go, I'm going to wake them all up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why have you had your fingerprints done?
Well, when I was 16, we had to redo all of our South African stuff, like South African passports and things. And the thing with South Africa is that...
Were you still in South Africa then?
No, no, no.
Right.
And it makes it harder not being there because they don't like that you're not there. They genuinely are...
back here!
Yeah, genuinely. It's so difficult to prove to them that you exist. And like, we had to go to the South African embassy in London with like a 2-inch thick folder of like... It was nuts. And... In South Africa, like France, like Germany, like a lot of countries, like the UK is basically the only country that doesn't have this, seemingly. You have an ID booklet. It's like, there's like basic ID.
So like a passport, but not a passport.
It's your ID.
Right.
So like when they say, can you see your ID? In the UK, it's like, we have no official ID. What? You just need to find one through learning to drive.
It is really strange in the UK, but it's like, well, I'm not interested. If you're like, I'm not interested in learning to drive and I don't plan on leaving the country. And they go, well, I guess you don't have a name.
Yeah. And they just go, you don't exist then.
Yeah.
Go on holiday.
You better want to leave.
Yeah. Go on holiday or drive.
Yeah.
Or you'll never get a pint. It's fucking odd. Whereas like most countries have some sort of ID booklet or whatever. It's one of the theories as to why the UK is more popular than, say, France for like asylum and some illegal migration. Because there's no, you know... Like,
oh, here we go.
Yeah. But it is weird, though, because like I looked into it because I was chatting with your friend of mine, Mr. Ahir Shah.
Yeah.
And we were saying, like, but why do they want to come here so much when they're already in France? Like, obviously, it would be nice to be like, oh, because England's that much better than France.
Yeah.
Is it?
Nah. We've been to Bordeaux. It's nice.
Yeah, Bordeaux's
really nice.
Yeah, but Calais's not nice.
Oh, yeah.
But basically, it's because it's there's a much bigger, like, underground economy in the UK, or there could be, because there's just no way of, like, okay, you're the immigration authorities. You burst into a restaurant. Well, they're just going, yeah, I live here. I'm from here.
Oh, yeah, but there's no ID at home. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they don't drive. They go, yeah, I don't drive. I walk here. And you go, okay, well, good luck then. Good luck serving Mads Mikkelsen his curry. Or whatever is happening in the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no way of proving it. So, like, the irony is that the Conservatives are stuck in this double bind of being like, no Englishman should ever be asked for ID.
Yeah, yeah.
And also
but putting a lot of emphasis on the word English there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No
yeah.
English yeah. man.
Really, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also really wishing there was a way that they could kick out everyone. Yeah. You know, and put them on ships and all that fucking mad shit. So, yeah. But I definitely had to give the South African government loads of my fingerprints for that.
And when you say loads of your fingerprints, do you mean the same finger loads of times or all of your fingers individually?
All of them individually, multiple times. Like, so many. Like, crazy. We know someone who had their fingerprints stolen.
What?
Yeah.
How? What do you mean?
So there was a criminal file about some burglary.
Like when Hannibal Lecter steals the person's face. But he just stole his fingerprints. It's definitely him.
It doesn't look like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sound like him. But, like, feel his hands.
It feels like him.
His bloody shredded hands. There was some crime committed in South Africa, some problem, and they took fingerprints at the crime scene, but then the document in the police file was swapped out.
Wow.
But
so it was,
this person...
This goes all the way to someone in the police station did it.
Well, just someone in admin. You could do for, like, they'd do for, like, £100 or whatever. Like, it's not...
Oh, Matt, do you know what? Looking back... It is mad the temp jobs and stuff I used to do. Just the power I could
level
live.
Of access.
Yeah, I did the temp job for that medical facility that had the Elephant Man incident. Were you in the UK with that?
What?
So you know you can
in the 1800s.
I don't know if you considered doing this like post. I mean, like your friend of mine Adam Hess did like flu trials and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I signed up for so many of those because it was like it was so much money.
And you got to just lie in bed and be ill,
which is I'd love that.
Yeah, you and I both love being ill.
Honestly, I hate being ill. But my favorite activities are very illness coded of just lying in bed with a book while someone mops my brow. Yeah, that's like my favorite hobby.
Staying on a couch and going, ugh.
One leg in a plaster cast, suspended upwards, like in the Beano.
Even if it's flu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where we injected.
A thermometer in your mouth at all times.
And like your jaw bandage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that goes around the top of your head and under your chin. What's that keeping in place? So I remember signing up to loads of those, but there was this big story. This was probably about like 2006, maybe earlier. Some guy signed up to have like some sort of drug cure or whatever injected into them, and their heads swelled up. They were in agony. They all survived. They're all fine now.
Yeah,
and all side effects went, but they were described as looking like the Elephant Man. That's why it's called the Elephant Man trials, because their heads swelled up to like twice the size.
Ugh.
They looked like they were going to explode.
No,
so I did like admin for them in like 2014. But
was
like,
it still just like case of notes from the trial? And
I never read them. So at the time, I was sort of like, right, do any temp jobs in the day, do any gig I can in the evening, any open mic night, try and get better at comedy. And so I'd sit there with like, and so my way of trying to get better at comedy was trying to ingest as much comedy as possible. So I'd sit there with my phone on my lap all day, just watching all the stuff that I felt like I should see, but would never be asked to watch. Like all of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Listen
to all of The Goon Show. And you go, I wouldn't do that in my spare time. But at work, it feels like that is work. So, you know, I do that while just folding letters and putting them in envelopes and sending them off. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I don't know what the work was.
But that's it. So someone like you then.
Yeah, someone deeply responsible. Maybe I stole someone's fingerprints by accident.
But someone just said like, just £500, just like pick some fingerprints. And what was lucky, or maybe deliberate, but probably just lucky, was that this is someone who doesn't live in South Africa.
See.
So there's like the perfect alibi. It's like, well, I live in England, so I didn't steal a car in the most dangerous part of
Of
Johannesburg or whatever it is. But that still had to be dealt with by the cops. And
man,
yeah, so that can happen.
Yeah,
so my fingerprints are out there. So I think maybe I couldn't burgle for that reason.
Yeah,
they're out there somewhere. I can't remember if I ever had to give them to the UK.
Do you remember the guy? Was it official? Was this?
Just came around in a van.
Let me put some ink on your thumb, son.
Can I rub your hands?
Yeah, he didn't put...
I'm here from the embassy.
He didn't get you to put your hands in ink. He just had inky hands himself and a firm handshake.
There was his name, Inky Hands.
Inky Handshake.
Inky Hans. The Afrikaans guy doing all the all the fingerprinting. Inky Hans came round and did my hands, yeah.
Inky is such a weird nickname that I've come across maybe twice in my life. Of people who call Inky and you go, that's not a good name.
You go... Unless you're like a What a Scoop journalist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gumshoe.
Yeah. We got a burned pavement. Burned pavement if you want to get to the heart of this story.
He always has a trilby with press in his... Yeah. Like, yeah, a little press card in his hand.
You go, what's that for?
Yeah.
Who's that for?
Yeah, you look like an old-timey journalist. We know what you are. Yeah. You're walking with a microphone and a pen and paper at all times.
Yeah, you're really keen that we know that you're a journalist.
Yeah.
I can't help but think this makes you a bad investigative journalist.
To bring the journalism side background to the aforementioned Spider-Man.
Yeah. He needs to be a freelancer, I was going to say, Spider-Man.
Do they still need photos of Spider-Man? I feel like, why do they need photos of Spider-Man at all times?
One Getty Images of Spider-Man.
After on in World War II, they stopped needing new pictures of Hitler. Give me pictures of Adolf Hitler. Do you know what I mean?
Give me pictures of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, like we have...
It's like the queen or the king, isn't it? They always want to make sure that you can see that they were actually there at the school or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For God's sake, the guy's name is on the tip of my tongue.
J. Jonah Jameson.
No. You're gonna have to edit this.
Who is it?
I'm googling it because there is one photo of Alexander Litvinenko, and that was enough. Why do we need so many of Spider-Man?
Yeah, I guess it's the only reason would be like if the readers were interested in like, well, it was a stock image of Spider-Man like sideways on a wall.
Yeah.
But it says here that he did this crazy loop-de-loo, but I can't picture it in my head.
But he's in the news all the time, but after a while it would stop being used. Like, I always imagine this, like if...
It's always the suspicious with Spider-Man is selling pictures of himself that are from like non-human angles.
Yeah.
So it's like, how did you fucking get...
How did you get this goat-say angle of you? It's like sending in lewds.
It's like, we're just like, we've checked the alleyway and their camera was 30 feet in the air and there's no stairs. So what were you doing?
If I was Peter Parker, despite J. J. Jameson, I'd send in dreadful explicit, like anatomically explicit pictures to him and be like, you asked for them.
You said more.
Yeah.
That's all you said. More.
Because I've always wondered how, really, if we had a superhero, how much would they be in the news? Because I always thought like if in like an England match, let's say it's Euro 2024.
Yeah.
Everyone goes up for a corner. Carl Walker takes the corner. Harry Kane leaps up to head it in and he just keeps going. And he just goes up into the sky.
With a sort of
and we lose Harry Kane. The TV cameras don't go up high enough. So they're like, we can't see him.
Yeah, it has to cut to mobile phone footage.
Yeah, he's gone up like a balloon. And he's gone into space, but no satellites are picking him up. And he's fine. He's like doing like the Superman pose. His fist is up in the air. How long would that be in the news for before we stop talking about that? Do you know what I mean? How many days would that be front page news before you go, I think something else has happened now.
I think it would snap people's minds because there would be no closure.
Yeah, but you just have to accept it. Like, remember that in the New Year's Eve fireworks, they did that drone display and it was in the shape of Captain Tom above the O2.
Yeah.
Imagine if that just got stuck in the sky. And so every night from now on, we just had this image of Captain Tom burnt into the sky.
And it had to,
would it be in the news?
No,
every day?
It would start getting incorporated into movies. It would be how you would know we were in London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be like Big Ben, that thing.
Yeah, it's like obviously it's coming up to Christmas. I know that at some point over Christmas, I'll be watching a 90s Manhattan movie with my family. My dad always goes, Twin Towers. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's time for us to go to now. We should plug, as you're listening to this, if you're one of the people who listens when it comes out on the day, later today, or on this day, Wednesday, the 15th of November, your radio show is starting.
6:30 p.m., Radio 4, a series of 4 half-hour stand-up shows.
Yeah, and you can listen again on...
You can listen again on iPlayer, BBC Sounds.
All that.
Illegally, I don't mind. Personally, I'm sure the commissioner does mind.
BBC is not paid for through adverts, so...
Exactly.
You're not stealing in the normal way.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's this week, next week, week after, and the week after.
Yeah, use a VPN.
Yeah.
Bucket.
Yeah.
So listen to that.
Did I tell you the interesting fact about recording the shows live for BBC at 6:30? You're allowed more swearing than I thought you would be for 6:30 on BBC.
Well, let's make this a Patreon thing. Okay. We'll tell the VIPs about the secret swearing rules of the biased broadcasting corporation. I finished my tour. Thank you to all the Bud Pods who came out, Koji. And I got, if you check my Instagram, you'll see that a Pod Bud gave me a delightful gift. Some lovely Bud Pod themed tat. Thank you very much for coming out on tour. There's 2 dates have been rescheduled, Northampton and Southend-on-Sea, for February next year because of concrete scandals. And the last thing really is the 23rd of November this month, Leicester Square Theatre, the final outing in London of that show, Forever and Ever, Amen. So check that out. But now we're going to go to the Patreon. Thank you very much, Glenn. 15th of November, that's tomorrow.
Yes.
Anything else?
No. Just, I mean, obviously your tour show. I've seen the show. Not for me.
No.
But no. Some people might
find. You saw most of the show.
Yeah,
you stormed out.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.